your Bibles, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 55. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 6. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence. Lord, though the weather outside is a bit unpredictable and a little gloomy, inside it's warm, inside it's got your presence, inside it's happy and joyful. Lord, there we have so much to be thankful for. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. We live in a society that just has to have your presence. Oh God, please rest upon our preacher today, rest upon us while we listen, change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. We look forward to heaven, but until then, we will have to live down here. As a result of that, there are difficulties and challenges that we must face. I have the privilege of helping people and serving people. I'm glad that I have that privilege. This week, as we sing about heaven, this week, difficulties have come to people. I received phone call after phone call of people who are hurting this week, some that you would know and some that you would not know. Seems like while some are basking in the sunshine of joy and happiness, there are yet others who are under the cloud of discouragement and the cloud of hardship. I have a dear friend that called me this week. Some of you will know him. He visited this church some years ago, has a brother that lives up in Pennsylvania, but his name is Phil Sally. Phil Sally is a very dear friend of mine, he and his wife, and he called me this week, and to be honest, his heart was broken. His wife was not feeling well just a few days ago suddenly, and her feet began to swell, and some things that they couldn't quite figure out, some flu-like symptoms. They took her to the doctor, and they rushed her in for emergency cancer surgery. And though Phil Sally is a very capable, strong man, he called, and he wanted to talk. And he needed a friend. And I was glad that I was there to help him in a time when things were rough. Another piece of information came to me. Some of you will remember Dr. Daryl Cox. Dr. Cox came here and preached for us. He grew up here in West Virginia. Now he pastors a great church in Mocksville, North Carolina. Brother Cox's sister lives down in Beckley. He lives in Beckley, West Virginia, and his sister passed away. And I called Brother Cox and wanted to encourage him, if you can imagine losing your sister. And if you can imagine being the one that would do the home-going service. He was preaching his own sister's funeral. Next day, a pastor called me, and he had messed up. He made a bad mistake, and he was weeping, and he said, I wonder if I've destroyed myself. And he said, I've wondered if my people will help me or will they attack me. And he said, I've tried to help them. And he needed a friend that would not be unkind to him. And I'm glad that I received that call. I got another call. Some dear friends of mine. Some of you might know their names, some won't. They've been here Their names are Scott and Connie Vigneri. They've got 7 or 8 children, and their kids were on a skiing trip, and one of their teenage daughters was coming down a slope and ran head-on into a tree and passed away because of it. And I called them. I tried to be of a help to them. You just take the additional burdens of life. The hardships of life. We experienced a bit of an emergency in regard to my grandson being born this week, and the baby had to be delivered a cesarean because of some complications, and thank God everything came out fine. But day after day, the phone calls come. Day after day, the hardships of life come. And all of us, as we live our lives, we have the moments of joy, we have the moments of bliss, and then we have the moments where the clouds roll in. We have those moments when life gets harder. I want to talk to you about it today. I dealt with probably 5 problems this week where I know what the people on the other end of the telephone were trying to say to me. They didn't word it this way, but in their emotions, in their fear, In all that was taking place as they conversed with me, they were saying, "Brother Owens, this problem is bigger than me. This problem is bigger than me." And as the calls came, and I just felt like person after person facing a problem that seemed to be too big for them, I asked myself, what do you do when a problem is bigger than you? What do you do when a problem is bigger than you? Here in this psalm that we read together a moment ago, Psalm chapter 55, it is a psalm of David. He is in Jerusalem, and very possibly his son Absalom is attacking him. David, and I won't go into all the story, I'm going though to teach on this psalm, but David is devastated because his own son is attacking him and trying to take over the kingdom, even to the point where David says here, I wish I could just fly away. I wish there were a way that I could get away from this. He says in Psalm 55:1, as we read earlier, and if you have your Bible open there, you can glance at it with me, but it says in Psalm 55:1, David said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Here, David is praying, and he says, "God, please, if there's any time in life, I don't want to feel like you're hiding from me. It's right now." David said, "God, I am desperate right this moment." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like, "God, I am desperate. Whatever you do right now, do not hide yourself from me. God, right now, I have got to see you. God, right now, please, don't hide behind a tree. Please, don't hide behind anything, but God, I've got to be able to know that you're there for me." He says in verse number 2, "Attend unto me." This is David talking to God. "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." He said, "God, I'm begging for your attention." David's situation has him mourning and groaning in emotional pain. David says here, "I make a noise." In other words, David finds himself, even though he may be going about his daily duties and trying to stay busy and keep going forward, though his heart is broken, David knows that just every once in a while, he's got that sigh. He's got that moan. He's got that grief that reminds him that he has a burden that's a bit overwhelming to him. In verse number 3, David says, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." David realizes he has enemies. He realizes there are some that would try to destroy him. Obviously, the devil, he's the one that's behind all hurt. He's the one that's behind all the pain. And I think David knew that, but even further than that, evil people, and how sometimes people launch out to hurt someone. And people people somehow get an evil about them, and they want to give, they'll hurt people. And here David says, he says, I have an enemy, and I recognize it. In verse number 4, it says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. He said, God, my heart hurts desperately right now. God, and even to the point, I do not believe here when David talks about the terrors of death. He's being attacked, but let me tell you something. David fought Goliath. David fought a bear. David fought a lion. David was a mighty, powerful man of valor. He was a captain. He was a fighter. David is not talking about, I fear physical death right now. I really believe David is talking about, my hurts are so deep. I feel like the pain that I'm going through is just going to kill me. Have you ever been hurt so bad that you say, I think this could kill me. I just want to die. He says in verse number 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. He said, I'm scared, and my body trembles. The horror of the results of my emotions are overwhelming me. In verse number 6, he says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. He said, I just wish I were like a bird, and I just wish I could fly away. I just wish I wouldn't feel this pain. I guess you could probably agree with me then, after glancing through about 6 verses of this story, David feels like his problem is bigger than David. In verse number 5, though, I want to draw your attention to a word. It says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Overwhelmed me. I went to every time in the Bible where the word overwhelmed is used, and I studied every one of them. You see, we all face at one time or another this type of overwhelming fear or hurt. And you hear me say this from time to time, and I will again say it today. If you're a young person and you're living at home with mom and dad, and you've not faced an overwhelming situation in life, you will someday. You will. And I realize in this day and age, young people go through it. But if you're a child and you say, I don't associate with that, well, you have the protection of mom and the protection of dad and so many others watching out for you. But it doesn't take long until you get into the double digits of life. You begin to realize that life has pains and life has hurts and life has times when we're overwhelmed. God speaks of overwhelming situations elsewhere in the Bible. Psalm chapter 61, verse 2 says this, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Has your heart ever been overwhelmed? This morning as I look around this great sea of faces, you may look at me or I may look at you, and you won't always know who has an overwhelmed heart. But here today, there's somebody that has an overwhelmed heart. Surely, nearly 1,000 people on this property here this morning, I'll promise you somebody is overwhelmed. And I don't think just one somebody. I think we could go to any section of pews in this mighty auditorium and we could find somebody that, as I read from Psalm 95 today or Psalm 55 today, you said, I associate. Oh, as you're explaining those verses, Brother Owens, that is so real to me right now. That explains what I'm going through. Overwhelmed in heart, Psalm 61:2. Psalm 77:3 says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Psalm 124, verse number 4, the Bible says, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. the feeling of drowning in despair, the feeling of not knowing how in the world you will emotionally manage that which you face. Psalm 142, verse number 3, the Bible says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." Let me say again, it says here, the spirit was overwhelmed within. Some of you can become very confused very quickly when you look at someone and they have the joy of God and you see a smile and you watch them laugh. Somehow you may get the idea that they never have or they do not face an overwhelmed spirit. Here the Bible says an overwhelmed spirit is something that takes place on the inside of you. Obviously, it can creep to the outside of you, but some of you need to know there are people that have a smile on their face, and they cheer you, and they encourage you, and they help you, and you would guess that, boy, everything must just be fantastic in their life, and you do not know that in the privacy of their heart, where they're secluded in their own bedroom at home, they cry tears, they have broken hearts, they face issues and matters that have overwhelmed, and they feel like they have been flooded by the heartache of life. The Bible says in Psalm 143, verse number 4, "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." The word desolate there meaning empty, hopeless, lonely. I'm the only one who's feeling what I'm feeling. And as a pastor, I never want anyone to feel that way. I don't want anyone to feel like they've got to go through it alone. I'll tell you something the devil's come to me recently about. He doesn't speak to me audibly, and if he did, I'd run. But you know, recently the devil said to me, "You know, you don't have to go through the hardships and the heartaches that you do." And in my mind I said, what do you mean? He said, "You don't have to care." I said, "No deal. No deal. I'm not in the bargaining mood over that." And though nobody knows who you are sitting in that balcony this morning, and you say, "I associate with David, I feel a bit overwhelmed." If you sit here on the massive lower floor of this auditorium and you say, "It's within me and nobody knows. Nobody knows what I faced and nobody knows what I went through over the holidays." And I know the holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and all the hoopla and the party and all of it, though there were some of you that faced issues with family and lonelinesses and hurts and that time of the year just drew them back out and they surfaced and I realize that under the sound of my voice today are those that feel like David did, a bit desolate. The word overwhelmed in the Bible is defined three different ways. A feeling like you're going to pass out or faint spiritually or emotionally. Secondly, to feel totally covered or buried by something to the point of fearing emotional suffocation. Have you ever felt suffocated by a problem? It knocks the air out of you emotionally or spiritually. And thirdly, feeling emotionally washed away, flooded by trouble, and swept downstream like a dam burst and hurt has flooded you and you cannot find anything to grab a hold of as the hurt floods over you like water of a busted dam. Your feeling of being overwhelmed may be the result of your own doing or your own sin. Your feeling overwhelmed may be caused by the doing of someone else. Your feeling of being overwhelmed may have come because of a sudden catastrophe in your life. I don't know. But I know this. If you feel overwhelmed today, I sure would like to help you. I'm thinking of the catastrophe I described to you momentarily. Scott and Connie Vigneri, middle-aged folks, got a batch of kids, I'm going to guess 7, 8, children, and their teenage daughter had gone on a trip with the youth department and out skiing, decent, godly, God-fearing people, and coming down a slope and hits a tree. And then a mom and dad to receive a phone call that your teenage daughter's gone. I don't want anybody to go through that. Do you care about anybody enough that you hurt while they hurt? But let me say, sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we need to know what to do. You know, if I took my car somewhere and they didn't know how to fix it, I'd take it somewhere else. I hope today that you can find some help. And if you don't use the help immediately, if right now you say, well, I don't need this, you will. You will. You will. And if I can, I would like to give you a couple of very simple scriptural steps that will help you. If ever you feel like you almost can't get your breath because you're so overwhelmed, you say, the problem is bigger than I. It's bigger than me. This is bigger than me. Let me say this first of all. If you think you've got a problem that's bigger than you, I want you to do this. Realize God already knows your problem and He cares. God already knows your problem and God cares. Here in this Psalm, Psalm 55, verse number 5, it says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. There it is, that overwhelmed feeling, that word called overwhelmed. But let me explain something to you. If we were to go down, about a dozen, 11 verses, the same chapter, here's what David said. David said in Psalm 55, 16, he said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. What happened? David said, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. This is bigger than me, but thank God, David came to his senses after he had been down. He had realized he was down. He realized it was bigger than him, and David turns around and he says, I know where I'm going. I'm going to God. I'm going to God. In Psalm 55, verse 17, the Bible says this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Oh, I've got good news for you today. When you can't figure out who else could I cry out to? Who else would hear without passing judgment upon me? Who else could I trust? If you can't find anybody, you can cry out to God. That's what the psalmist said here in verse number 17. In verse number 18, he says, He hath delivered my soul. What's happening here? David says in verse number 5, I'm overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. This is bigger than me. But just a few verses later, he said, but He shall hear my voice. He says, He hath delivered me. In Psalm 55, verse 19, he says, God shall hear. God shall hear. In Psalm 55, verse number 20, David says, He hath put forth His hands. Well, I'll tell you what. Last thing you want when you're overwhelmed is a fist coming at you. You want to see the tender, loving hands of somebody that'll say, let me help you. Let me help you with that. In Psalm 55, verse number 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Hey, look, let me tell you something. When the burden is bigger than you, when you look at it and you say, that is so big, I feel like I'm being overwhelmed. I feel like I'm being overtaken. It has control of me. It has control of my emotions and my spirit to the point that my body trembles, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got good news for you. God already knows, and He cares. You say, well, how am I going to make it? David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God when mankind is not there. And in so many cases, it wouldn't matter if mankind were there anyway. Mankind can't do what God can. And I'm glad, my God, whether whatever the burden may be and whatever the heartache may be, and no matter why I'm overwhelmed, I'm glad my God can sustain me. If you sat here, or you sat here this morning and you say, this is bigger than me. The heartache is bigger than me. How am I going to make it? First of all, you realize God already knows your problem, and He cares. Secondly, if I were you, I'd tell God, you know your problem is bigger than you. Tell him you know that the problem is bigger than you. So what are you suggesting here, Brother Owens? Remove all pride. Immediately, wash your life of your arrogance. Immediately, cleanse your life of your pride. Immediately, make sure there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. Psalm 143, verse number 4, the Bible says this, listen to it. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. David says here, my spirit is overwhelmed, God. David says, my heart is desolate. David says, I'm blown away by my hurt. Let me point something out to us. And so many times we very, very flippantly read the Bible. We don't slow down long enough to let the Holy Spirit of God get in our hearts and in our minds over it. Let me tell you something that's happening here. I don't see an ounce of arrogance in David's situation right now. When David speaks up and David says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate, I don't think David's cocky or arrogant at all. I think David is humbled. There's no pride seen in those words. You know, you're more apt to get God's help if you're not cocky. Pride is a thief. Pride is a liar. Pride will take you for a ride and then dump you when the ride is over, and pride has stolen from you and taken what pride wanted to take. Hey, this may be where God wanted you in the first place. Maybe this is exactly where God needed you. Have you forgotten how desperately you need God? How about it, Christian? That does not pray. Oh, you say you do, but you don't. Probably the greatest evidence of pride is a lack of prayer. Because you are convinced that you can do it yourself, and you do. Have you forgotten how desperately you need God? You know, let's not only desperately need God when we face overwhelming matters. Let's desperately need Him every day. Every day. You know, we ought to desperately need God in the good times. We need to desperately need God when we have joy. We need to desperately need God when we have enough money to pay the bills. We need to desperately need God when we have our health. We need to desperately need God when the car's running well and the mortgage payment's made and the kids are behaving. Folks, whether you believe it or not, you need God all the time. All the time. Why is it that we must come to a point? Why is it that we must be overwhelmed, desolate, devastated, knocked to the ground, to say, oh, I need you. And God sometimes can look down and say, you needed me last week too. I don't know. Why is it? Why is it that a catastrophe in life must come before we realize it's bigger than us? Folks, just so you know, it's all bigger than us. It's all bigger than us. Devastation can blindside you. It can take you so far off guard. And I promise you, about the time that it does, you're going to say, "Oh, God, help me. You needed him before the devastation came." Let's not only desperately need God when we face overwhelming matters, let's desperately need him even in the good times. I don't know. I get criticized. I try to preach in a way that I can help people, and I get in trouble over it. People say, why do you make it simple like that? And why don't I do this or do that? I'm going to have to apologize to you. I don't know any other way to preach. But let me say something. If I could get this one point across today, it would be worth the whole day. You need God. I don't think you're getting it. You need God. The young people who are rebellious, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You need God. Those of you that are not doing right with and in your life, just listen to this preacher. Just get these few words today. You need God. Has the overwhelming issue in life caused you to crumble at God's feet? Has it? Has that overwhelming issue caused you to crumble at God's feet? Is the pride gone? I hate to tell you this, but God will knock that pride out of you. Guaranteed. He's going to knock it out of you, young man. He's going to knock it out of you, ma'am. And I do not come with a whip. I do not come to spank. I come today to say I love you. Get it out of there so you don't have to go through the hardships of life to get the pride out of your life. Get it out of there. You don't know better than God. You're not smarter than God. You can't do it without God. You've got to have that book. You've got to have your God. And if your life is to the point where you're crumbling and you're before God and you're saying, "I can't do this. I can't make it. I can't take it." If you're saying, "God, I've got to have you," well, maybe we've squeezed the pride out of your sinful soul and maybe you'll succeed spiritually. By the way, if you're spending your time analyzing others, you've missed it totally. Totally. There's so much arrogance in the thought that you would be thinking of someone else while I'm preaching like this to you. Your pride is so far out of hand, it's pathetic. Crumbled. I personally think David is crumbled in the presence of God right now. I think David, he is down. He is looking up. He's saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to take it. I know you know, and I'm coming to you. That's what he's doing. You see, if you face something that's overwhelming in your life, realize, number one, that God already knows your problem, and he cares. Secondly, tell God that you know the problem is bigger than you. Thirdly, realize then that your problem's not bigger than God. Realize that your problem's not bigger than God. In Psalm 124, verse number 4, the Bible says this, "Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul." Bible talking here about something, someone being overwhelmed. David says in that same passage,
It says in Psalm 124, verse 1, he said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. David realizes he was overwhelmed, but David comes along and says, but I know how to survive it had it not been for the Lord. He's saying here, my problem may be bigger than me, but my problem's not bigger than my God. My problem may be bigger than me, but I know this, my problem's not bigger than God. In Psalm 142, verse number 2, same passage, after David said, I've been overwhelmed, he says this, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, who rose up against us, he said, had it not been for the Lord, I would have drowned. Had it not been for the Lord, I couldn't have made it. Had it not been for the Lord, I couldn't have taken it. Now you listen to me, my friend. You may have a big problem. You may be facing something that is enormous, and you may be saying, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. But let me tell you something. God does. God does. I serve a big God. God is a big lifeguard when you drowned him. David knew that God was bigger than Goliath. You may all think that David was this cocky, arrogant kid that went out to fight Goliath. I believe that there was a boldness and a confidence about David, but I also believe David had enough good common sense to know he was fighting a foe that was bigger than him. If you check the story of David and Goliath, he made it clear he was coming in the name of the Lord, God Jehovah. Someone might have said to David, he might have said, you know what, David, you really think you're big. And I think David in his heart said, no, I don't think I'm big, but I serve a big God. I serve a big God. What makes you think, David, that you can fight Goliath? David said, I don't really want to fight Goliath, but I serve a big God. I serve a big God. Realize your problem. It may be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than God. You know, your problem, you take, for instance, Noah. Noah knew that God was bigger than the flood. I believe Noah knew that God was bigger than the flood. Somebody might have said to Noah, you really think you're a hotshot building that boat and all this preaching on righteousness and everything? You really think you're something? You really think you're big? I think Noah in his heart said, I don't think I'm big, but I serve a big God. David knew that God was bigger than Goliath. Noah knew that God was bigger than the flood. I think Daniel knew that God was bigger than the lions. Now, somebody might have come along and said, Daniel, you're pretty confident getting thrown in that lion's den. You really think you're big. And I think Daniel in his heart said, I don't think I'm big, but I serve a big God. And I know my God is bigger than the lions. David said, I know God's bigger than Goliath. Noah said, I know God's bigger than the flood. Daniel said, I know God is bigger than the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to be thrown into that burning, fiery furnace. Somebody might have said to them, you must really think you're big shots. And I believe those three boys said, we don't think we're big, but we serve a big God. They knew that God was bigger than the burning fiery furnace. You take the battle of Jericho. Joshua knew that God was bigger than the enemy at Jericho. Moses knew that God was bigger than Pharaoh's captivity. You see, if you get hit like David, and you're overwhelmed, and you're crumbled, and you're desolate, you feel like you're going to drown or be suffocated by hurt and emotion. Realize, first of all, that God already knows your problem, and He cares. Secondly, tell God you know your problem is bigger than you. Eliminate the pride. Thirdly, realize your problem is not bigger than God. Now, you think you've got big problems. Heard a couple boys on the playground say, one boy said to another, my dad can beat up your dad. The other boy said, so what, big deal, so can my mom. And here in West Virginia, that's more true than what you think. Oh my. When I began to study the word overwhelmed, it's not in the Bible a lot. It's not one of those words where you see it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And let me tell you this, and I really think you need to hear this. You're not supposed to live overwhelmed. Overwhelming times will come. They're not every week. You got some shoring up to do in your Christian life if every day you're just constantly overwhelmed. There's something you're gonna have to do some growing there. It's not you don't see it over and over and over and over again in the Bible. It wasn't a daily occurrence for David, a daily occurrence for Moses, or a daily occurrence for Noah. Wasn't it? But all of us are gonna face it from time to time. Shit, what else, Brother Owens? What do I do? What do I do? Well, again, you first of all realize God already knows your problem, and He cares. Secondly, you tell God that you know the problem is bigger than you. Get the pride out of your life. Thirdly, realize your problem is not bigger than God, and get your eyes on God and realize God can help you. Number four, let me tell you this. You probably need to do whatever you can. Do what you can. Do what you can. Sometimes we're laying there and we feel devastated, blown away. If you're not careful, you'll just lay there. You won't get anywhere laying there. You won't get anywhere just being a puddle of nothing. Putty in the hands of the devil to go ahead and destroy your spirit. Psalm 77:3 says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. There it is, the word overwhelmed. In verse number 6 of the same chapter it says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. What's happening here? Here's David again. He is using the word overwhelmed. He's telling us he finds himself overwhelmed. But I see that David, though he's crying out to God, David said, well, I'm going to do whatever I can. With whatever energy I have, I will use it to help me. He says here, what's David doing? He's helping himself. And that's not an arrogant helping himself. He realizes that he's got to be a contributor to helping himself through this thing. And so, it says here, it says, I call to remembrance. Now let me tell you something. Here, David said, I began to look back. He said, I remembered something. Let me tell you, if you feel overwhelmed, if you've gotten hit, and you say, boy, a burden has hit me, a heartache has hit me, something whether it's self-inflicted, others inflicted, whatever, devil inflicted, you any way you want to call it, let me give you a little piece of advice. When you're a little bit overwhelmed and you're looking forward and feeling hopeless, why don't you look back for a little while and see how far God's brought you? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. There's no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. Let me tell you, when devastation hits you, we get to looking forward and we feel hopeless and we feel like there's just nothing out there to look forward to. Then do this. Glance back and see how far God's brought you from. Glance back and think back to the day that God saved your sorry, sin-sick soul and you had nothing of a future. But God saved you and He said, you may have some tough times between now and then. But when you get to heaven, it's all going to be okay. You can look back at your salvation and realize what God did. Some of you say, oh, Brother Owens, we're facing it. We're up against it financially. You've been there before, many of you. Look back how God brought you through. Look back to the devastation that you faced 10 years ago. Look back to the last time when God brought you through. You see, David here said, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed, he said, but I'm going to ask for God's help, but you know, I got to do whatever I can. I can't sit here and just feel sorry for myself. I cannot spend all my time entertaining the overwhelmed devastation in my mind. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember. Then he said, I'm going to sing. He says, I call to remembrance. My song in the night. Let me tell you all something. I do not care what you're facing. You have enough energy to sing. Sometimes it's the only thing you have enough energy to do. And I'm talking about singing the songs of Zion. I'm talking about singing the songs of the Lord. Somehow, God can give you just enough boost of energy when you're facing the burdens of life to where you can sing a little. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You see, Brother Owens, I'll have to weep while I sing. Then weep.
My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the next school test. Yeah. All I have to do is follow. Let me tell you something. David, no different than you and me. Folks, don't get yourself convinced that these people that God used in the Bible were supernatural people. They woke up in the morning, the men put their britches on one leg at a time. They had to take care of their obligations of life, and they had relationships, and they were married, and they had mother-in-laws, and all the burdens that we face. And David is facing a devastation. David is facing something where he has used the term, I am overwhelmed. And David said, I'll turn to God, but I know there's some things that I need to do. I need to look back and say, God, I remember the time that you brought me through the tough times. And he said, I think I'll sing a little bit. It says here, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with my own heart. You know what David said? He said, I commune with my own heart. David said, I'm going to have to coach my own heart a little bit here. I'm going to have to coach my own heart. Talking with Brother Doss, who coaches our junior varsity basketball team, and we were talking some. We went to Washington, D.C., some of our Sunday school fall program winners, and we went down and spent the whole day in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And we were talking a little bit about coaching as we were coming back on the bus, and we were talking about giving young men direction, and you know what a coach does. A coach is there to say, go this way. Don't go that way. Do this, you'll succeed. Now don't do that, you won't succeed. And here the Bible said, David said, I'll tell you what I've got to do. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to realize that God wants to help me. But I've got to do what I can do. And David said, I'm going to remember the good times to help me get through this. I'm going to sing. And David said, I commune with mine own heart. David said, I will coach my own heart. Now, some of you, you've been saved long enough, you know enough about Christianity, and God knows if you've come to this church, you've been trained how to carry your burdens. You've been trained how to deal with your heartaches and the tough times of life. It's time for some of you, hey, and nobody knows. Nobody knows who's sitting in that choir this morning is sitting there gobbling this sermon up saying, oh, this I need this. I need this. And nobody knows who needs it. But let me tell you something. Nobody may know what you need, and you may have to coach yourself for a little while. So how do I coach myself? Just like a coach would on the ball court. You have to say to yourself, I can't think that right there. I've got to think this right here. I shouldn't go down that path. I've got to go down this path. You use the old black book for guidance. See, you got to do what you can. David coached his own heart. He even says here, he said, and my spirit made diligent search. You know what David said? My spirit. He's talking about his attitude. David said, I am going to have to work at encouraging my own attitude. We, as Christians, we depend on each other. And God wants us to a degree. Some of you depend on your pastor. And I'm glad. I'm going to do the best I can to keep my congregation as stupid as I can so I've got job security. And you all are helping me. No, you depend on me some, I depend on you. Husbands depend on wives and wives on husbands and children on their parents and thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you all something. You and God can do it together without me, without anybody else. And it's time for some of you to grow up and do it. We almost hate to hear it. This is a support group. This church is a support group. I'm a supporting pastor. But let me tell you, you may not always have somebody to hold your hand through it. To who
does the pastor go? Hey, do what you can. Do what you can. You say, well, Brother Owens, what can I do? Keep going forward. Don't quit. Don't make it worse. Hey, what can I do? Well, if you need to get right with God, then get right with God. Well, what can I do? Stay in your Bible. Now is not the time to stop reading your Bible. You say, I'm overwhelmed, the heartache, the pain, the loss of a loved one, the devastation has come. Stay in your Bible. You say, part of the problem is I've not been in my Bible. Then get back in your Bible. What can you do? You say, Brother Owens, this is bigger than me. There's nothing I can do. Yes, you can. You can read your Bible. You can go forward. You can decide not to quit. You can pray. You can stay in church. You can decide that you are going to be positive about your future and that God has something for you to do. I watch people, they get overwhelmed, get devastated. The first thing, that it's like they're in the boat of life and a great big wave comes over the top of that thing. And the first thing they do is start throwing overboard the life rafts. Throw over the life raft, get rid of that thing. No! The life rafts are things like reading your Bible and praying and staying in church. Don't throw out of your boat the things that are going to keep you from drowning. You know, however overwhelmed you are, don't make it worse by not doing what you can to keep yourself close to God spiritual. You see, David said, I'll run to God. I'm blown away. I'm going to ask God. I'm going to admit to God, I can't do it. I can't make it. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. But whatever little bit of energy I have, I will use it. And I will do my best to get back on my spiritual feet. Some of you right now, what you need to do, you need to shake yourself and say, all right, what can I do? And then do it. And then, and I'm finished, point number 5, beg God to do the rest. You see, when you're overwhelmed by the catastrophe of life, when you're overwhelmed and you're cold cocked and you didn't expect it and the hurt came or the devastation came or the death came or whatever came your way, whatever that hurt is, when it came, you felt like you were going to drown. You felt like you were going to suffocate. You felt like you were going to spiritually or emotionally pass out. You couldn't even breathe air into your spiritual self. You felt so overwhelmed. What do I do? Well, realize that God already knows and He already cares. And you go to God and you say, God, this is bigger than me. And you humble yourself. And you get to your God and you get the pride out of your life. And then thirdly, you realize that your problem is not bigger than God. And it is not. And then you do what you can. And then finally, you've done everything you know. Say, what do I do next? You beg God to do the rest. Psalm 142, verse 3, he said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, and he goes on to say in verse 5 through 7, listen to what David said after he admitted to his spirit being overwhelmed within him. Is he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David said, Lord, it hit me. I know you know. I know you care. And I can't do it by myself. I'm going to do everything I can. And then God, I'm just begging you, do the rest. Do the rest. You know what the problem is with some people? They're too proud to beg. Too proud to beg. There are people in here, you have problems. You've not spent one moment at this altar. Well, I can do it in private. Are you making it? So somebody might think there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with all of us, folks. No, you don't have to use that altar, but I'd highly recommend it. Are you too proud to beg? Beg God for solutions. Beg God for strength. Beg God for wisdom. Beg God for deliverance from the pain. Something that I do. And so you understand, the Bible teaches in James chapter 5, it talks about those that are ill, if they're sick, and they want to come to the pastor and ask the pastor to pray for them and pray that they would get better. I do that. There are people that will come to me. We don't have healing services around here, but we do pray for the sick. We lay hands on the sick and pray. It's not a show. It's a very serious, holy moment. Here's what I always do. I'll say to someone, I'll read them the scripture and I'll tell them what the Bible says in James chapter 5 about praying for the sick and by laying my hand upon them and anointing them with oil and asking God to get involved. And this is what I do. I always pray this. I'll say to them, all we want is God to do what God wants to do with this thing. And I'll say, we'll pray. And I'm going to ask God to try to point out to you if there's something about your health that you could do to fix it. And then I say, I'm also going to pray that maybe God will use someone else to help it. God may use a doctor. Just so you know, all healing comes from above. Every doctor that's ever done right and healed someone, it came from God. Every machine that's ever been used to heal a human being, the parts on that machine were created by the Almighty God, and the wisdom to help people, it's all from God. It's all from God. But I pray, I'll say, I'm going to pray and ask God to bring anything to your attention that you might do to better your health so you'll get better. I'm also going to pray that God use whatever, if God uses a doctor. Okay, fine. And then, finally, I will pray and say, God, or you may choose to just do this whole thing and do a healing and make it go away. But whatever you bring, God, that's what I want. Hey, that's what some of you need to do with your devastation. You need to go to God and say, God, I'm asking if you can help me to help me. I'll do what you want. If somebody else is going to help me, I'll take it. If you choose to do it all on your own, I'll take that too. But God, I'll do my part. I'll let somebody else do their part. I'll let you do it all. God, all I'm doing is coming and saying, I can't do this alone. Fix all the problems that you can, then plead with God to take over from there. That's what you got to do. Encourage yourself all you can, then beg God to do the rest. Help yourself. And I'm not talking about helping yourself, not arrogantly, but out of responsibility. Out of responsibility, you need to help you when you can help you. And then when you've done all you can, you go to God and say, God, you do the rest. Let God be God and trust Him. Let Him see you through that overwhelmed feeling that David felt in Psalm 55. I found myself in so much turmoil. My friend Phil Sally, whose wife had emergency cancer surgery, my wife handed me the phone and she said, it's Brother Sally, he needs to talk to you. Part of me wanted to run to the airport and fly to Alabama. I wanted to be there. And then when word came about Dr. Cox's sister passing away, I wanted to jump on a plane. I wanted to fly to Mocksville, North Carolina and be there and help him. Hey, he's a pastor. Who's going to help him? Everybody's going to expect everything of him. And I thought, I just wish I could, if I could just be there, you know, just for a little while. And then I thought, no, I need to get on a plane and I need to fly to Cedar Lake, Indiana. And I need to go encourage Scott and Connie, the loss of their teenage daughter. And I thought, I can't go everywhere and do it. I can't. I said, God, please, you help them and you help me to help them and you help them to help themselves. And then God, I'm begging that you just do the rest. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to tell you, you need to get born again. You see, those of us that are born again have claim to all that I taught this morning. And right there is a whole bunch of comfort, a whole bunch of love. Right there is a whole bunch of hope. And we have that as born again Christians. But if you're not saved, I want you to know, and I do not mean this in a derogatory or an unkind way, but if you're not saved here today, I feel so sorry for you. How do you do it? How do you make it through the hardships of life? If you're not saved, we welcome you. Why don't you come and get born again today? Then have claim to what Christians have claim to, the God of that book that made all those promises just made to David and all the teaching that was just given. You see, all that was for a born-again Christian. Someone who has a heavenly Father, not just a heavenly Creator. See, if you're not saved, you were created by God, but you're not a part of the family of God. You need to get in the family so you can get in on some of the doctrine that our Daddy, God, makes available.